At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
So, like, for you to get on the American Top Gear, that must have been really, really exciting.
It was so exciting, and a day that I called my mom and said, today's not a day to use the internet, when they announced who those were. Because the hate.
Welcome, MythFits.
Welcome back, MythFits.
Are you guys staying weird?
I'm staying weird. Yeah, I'm so weird. Dude, look at
merch.
We got merch. Look at the t-shirts, you guys.
I got the box in the mail, too.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of MythFits. Thank you for joining us again. I am Tori Belaichi.
And I'm Carrie Byron. Tori and I have known each other for a long time, so thanks for tuning in to our weekly conversation that we were going to have anyway. This is just a reason for us to talk to all of our favorite people. And I'd love to catch up with you, Tori, but I'm so excited for the guests that we have today that I feel like we should jump right into it because I love him so much. He's so awesome.
You took the words out of my mouth. Yes, let's just go ahead and introduce him.
You guys are in for a treat because today we have Rutledge Wood. He was the host of American Top Gear. That's how we first got to know him when we were on Mythbusters because we shared a producer. But since then, he's done a million different things. Floor is Lava. He did the Hot Wheels show, which was awesome. He's a race car driver now and has a million good stories. He's also a really good friend of Tori and I. So let's bring him on. Let's get him. We have Rutledge here. He was the American Top Gear host. He is a GR Cup Series racer. Floor is Lava. Like so many shows. I see you on the television all the time, but I'm more excited when you show up at the bar with me.
He's just an all-around great guy.
Oh, aren't you guys the sweetest? Hey, thanks for having me. What a treat. What a treat. Also, Tori, you know, when you show up at any place with Carrie, they're like, they just move everything like, come on in. Come on in.
Yeah,
have our best table.
Oh, my God. It's totally like that. Dude, I think the last time I saw you was at Long Beach Grand Prix Indy Races.
That's right.
How long it's been, dude.
Which is way too long. You guys have been crushing it. Y'all know I'm such a... It's funny now that we're all friends. I met you guys while we were shooting an episode of Top Gear.
Yep.
And was such a super fan. And then basically the next time that I came to visit... I brought my friend Kyle Petty, and I was like, hey, can we all go to dinner? And y'all were like, absolutely. And so I got to be a total nerd again. And that's what I would like to think when we really all became friends. But I love that y'all are doing this podcast. I love you both immensely. So thank you for having me. What a treat.
Oh, my God. It's so good to see you. Dude, I remember the first time we met you, we were at some bar, and the next day, so a producer that was working on Mythbusters had gone on to work with you guys, and you guys were looking for cool cars in San Francisco that with a personality, like somebody who owned a really cool car with a personality. And like, do you know anybody? And so you guys were testing, it was a new service where if you get drunk at a bar, somebody will ride up on a little mini like car, you know, a little like scooter,
and then suitcase moped.
Yes, and then the scooter folds up, and you put it in the trunk, and you drive the person home safely, and then you go off and you know find your next drunk patriot. So we were set up. A buddy of mine had a 12-cylinder Bentley, and so we actually did it with Adam. So you were in another part of the city doing something,
right?
And so we show up to the bar. They get it all set up. Adam comes out and, you know, they do their scene and we have an open bar. So we're all getting hammered, right?
Of course.
But so on the way to location, we pull up to this stoplight and this guy pulls up in a supercharged Mustang. And it's like an 8-cylinder. And he's like, you guys want to go? You want to go? And my buddy's like, this guy has no idea what I have under this hood. Like, and so the light turns green. He floors it. We're at the next light within seconds. And then this guy pulls up a few seconds later and he's just like, bro, what do you got under there? I got a supercharger. Like, I beat everybody. And it was just the look on his face where he was just like, I can't believe you just completely destroyed me.
That's really like, that was the charm of Top Gear, just everywhere we went constantly. But that was so much fun. I totally forgot that was when we saw you guys. And turns out, it's interesting, that idea didn't last, unfortunately. It was so fun to ride around San Francisco on the hills on this sketchy, like, it was a folding moped that would go in the back of someone's trunk. Like, no part of it really made sense, and yet it was a brilliant idea at the same time. But that was so much fun. I appreciate you guys getting drunk on our behalf. You're a good man.
Yeah,
it was anytime.
On Top Gear.
Were you a fan of the English Top Gear at that point? Had you seen it?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, like, for you to get on the American Top Gear, that must have been really, really exciting.
It was so exciting, and a day that I called my mom and said, today's not a day to use the internet. When they announced who the hosts were. Oh, because
the hate.
It was immense.
I can imagine.
Whatever you tell yourself, it's like, you know, look, I've been weird my whole life. So I'm like, once you get through the middle school lunchroom, really nothing can hurt you at this point. It was bleak for a couple days. They're like, who is this idiot? Why do they pick him? And also, like, they don't know that in the process, you know, BBC, who made the show with History, right? It's a co-production. It's not like we rented the name, but they said, like, what's going to make this show fail? And I said, well, if you try to get three people to pretend they're the UK guys, this will never work. That was definitely not what they were doing. But I think people were so sensitive. It's like how you like a band and then they get signed and then you're like, oh, they're sellouts. It was that kind of a moment.
Yeah.
Because totally. I think at the time, y'all remember, I think Top Gear UK was the most watched or most downloaded show in the world because it was very early in those kind of stages. But what people didn't realize is that everyone liked this band. Like, they weren't this quiet garage band that people wanted to believe.
Right.
The secret's out.
They were like the U2.
Yes. So they're like, oh, this is my thing. I'm going to pretend to not like you because I. And then I was like, guys, I love them too. So once they realized, oh, you're not trying to be the three of them. We had, of course, there were some like ideas of shows of kind of the start of where a project would go. That was, you know, that's how they like sold the show. But it was so fun. And that's, you know, when we got to meet you guys and Tabitha, who was amazing, Linda, who you guys worked with for so many years. We were so fortunate to have such great producers on there. But it was wild.
It looked like fun. It looked like you guys were having a blast the whole time.
Completely. And y'all know it's so hard to do a show for that long. We were together. We did 7 years. It was 6 seasons, 72 shows. And the only reason we stopped was because the UK guys got fired. Then the BBC UK goes to History and they're like, oh, we got to charge you more for the show now. And History's like, no, we'll pay you the same. And so they get into this corporate shouting match. And y'all know it's hard for adults to take accountability and say, I'm sorry, we were wrong. It's even harder for corporations to do that. So it was very, it was very tricky because then there was that thing, and y'all have seen this too, where they're like, oh, well, we'll just go show we'll sell the show somewhere else. And everyone's like, cool, we're getting Rutten, Adam and Tanner. And they're like, no, but you're getting the name. And they're like, we don't want the name. So that didn't work for them.
We like the guys.
Yeah, we like them. Then they tried to make one on their own. They put it on BBC America and no one saw that. And those guys were all my friends. So I was like, hey, really encouraging. And then my friend Dax Shepard made a version, which I loved. And I thought,
yeah, the motor trend one.
Yeah, which was amazing. And Dax was so sweet that like he definitely did not have to. But when I was at their house one night for dinner, when I was in LA, I was doing something for the Olympics. And he and I became friends shooting Top Gear. And I just adore him. He's one of my favorite people. And what he's done, you know, with his podcast has changed, I think, vulnerability for so many people and let them be like, oh, well, if this guy can do that and Kristen can be vulnerable in this space, I can too. And I love everything about them. But I was having dinner and I was like, what's up with work? And he's like, oh, I actually, I wanted to talk to you about that. And I immediately was like, you're going to do Top Gear, aren't you? And he's like, I am. I was like, dude, this is so great.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he asked for my blessing. And I was like, bro, of course you have it. It's going to be amazing. The one thing I wish they had done differently, I think they should have put that show on Discovery. And I think they should have had Kristen do promos and say, hey, my insane husband is doing this show. You're going to love it. We're all going to watch it together. I'll see you on Tuesday or whatever. And I think it would have been a huge success. But that's...
You know what the problem was? Because Motor Trend, they were trying to create a streaming service, because we had just done Motor Mythbusters with BC.
Right.
And Faye. And they were trying to like parse it out like as mini episodes every week, as opposed to just putting it on the linear, you know, television format.
Sure.
And so people were like, they didn't want to pay extra. They're like, why would I pay for streaming when if I wait 6 months, it's going to be on television for free?
Right.
So it was just this weird, it was like, you're not Netflix. It's not going to work. Like, it's just, you know your style, or you know your business model. Just put the shows out when, you know, on television. So it was a weird, because Kevin Hart, he also had a big show.
That's
where
right.
He was, you know, had all these muscle cars with his friends. And same thing. It was just like they were trying to do the streaming service and it just didn't work.
We all know we were watching what people were calling the streaming wars. I don't think it was a war at all. I think everyone thought, oh, we should do what Netflix is doing. Let's all compete essentially against ourselves. And Netflix literally never looked over there. They just kept driving. And nothing about them has, like, you know, because also, like, when we did The Floor is Lava, or we did Hyperdrive was another fun car show, I created American Barbecue Showdown over there. Like, Netflix, to their credit, they're just not paying attention to anyone else. They're like, let's just do our thing. They also, it's really weird. You know, The Floor is Lava is hands down the biggest thing I've ever done. It was, when it came out in June of 20, and I know a lot of people were home, we got 38 million viewers the first month. We went on to be number 7 for Netflix Global.
That's crazy.
They could also track how many new subscribers that we brought in. And I think it was like 240,000 or something like that.
That's, oh my
like
God, you're this generation's Double Dare.
Right? We really are. But that's like a, Carrie, that's like a $40 million just cash raining down from the sky for new subscribers for one thing. But that's what's also wild about Netflix. And I've loved everything I've done with them, but they're not worried about building legacy programming. Like, we did 3 seasons there. It was a huge success. And they're like, awesome. Let's make something else. And they just, and that's what's kind of cool about it. But it's also what makes it hard to build things that can grow and be long term. I mean, like, if Mythbusters had been 2 seasons, like, we wouldn't have learned diddly squat. Like, we would have had just enough time to be like, oh, wait, we can like test things and really come up with true hypotheses for theories that have been out there forever. But like, y'all needed time to actually go do that. And look at all of the, I mean, you think of how you guys single-handedly changed the pig stomach market.
I've never thought about that. Pig belly.
It's big. It's
prices,
big.
I mean, price is going up for pig belly.
Absolutely. I mean, all of that stuff. But that's, I think that might be what's missing right now in TV, is there's not a lot of that kind of stuff. But I also feel, I've never felt more sure in my life that right now what we need more than anything is Mr. Rogers. I think we need it for adults.
Yeah.
I think we need it for kids.
Some positivity, some hopefulness, some just escapism. But like, just with like, a good
let's just
person.
Let's take this train behind my couch to this magical world where people talk about their feelings. Like, golly, it's what we need right now.
I mean, personally, I'm a binge watcher. So if I see something has 3 seasons, I'm kind of like, are they going to end on like without the cliffhanger being solved? Like, I love seeing like, I don't know, Special Victims Unit as 24 seasons. You're like, okay, I can invest in this and then I'll have some familiarity. Because I think one of the things that made Top Gear and Mythbusters like very, you know, pop culture and kind of embedded in culture is the fact that it was something continuous and we came into your living room once a week and it was a familiar, comfortable place to be. So people still like to go back to that nostalgia. So Floor is Lava should have had 28 seasons so that kids could grow up with it and then their kids could watch it.
I think that's something that I loved. I mean, I feel like there's a chance that I have seen every single Mythbusters show. I don't think I ever missed one because I also, you know, they run them till the wheels fall off, which is amazing.
And we're getting so many residuals from that.
Oh, you're getting the same number that I am. And I think
wait, what?
The goose egg of the robbery, the theft of our industry. Woo-hoo! But I was going to say, on the beautiful side, we got to see you guys and Grant grow in the place that you were and the relationship with the other two. And we got to see all of these kind of changes over the years, because also, like, y'all were growing up on camera. Let's be honest. Y'all were all babies. Yeah. Same thing for us. Like, you spend that much time together and you also learn, like, you know, I remember when, Carrie, when you took a season off because you had just had your daughter and, like, Jesse's there. And I was like, I know Jesse. Like, that was a thing that happened. And then, like, all of these different changes. It was just, I hope you guys have those times where you're really able to reflect and think about what a huge impact y'all had on people's curiosity. And obviously, Carrie, you've done so much work in the science world of getting kids excited. But, like, that's such a legacy that you guys have. And you think about, because also you're all three from such different places, you think about the people that Grant inspired and continues to.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's just so, it's so special. And sometimes we forget because we are head down. We're like, here's what the schedule is. I got to make sure that I'm there on time. And I'm going to get crap all over me because I'm getting blown up again. But, like, y'all were so vital to so many families, being able to sit down together and watch something and just go,
Rut, that's you're amazing. The best.
It's true.
That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said.
It's true. And knowing both of y'all, I know that everything, I know we play characters that are largely based on ourselves on camera.
Yeah.
But you guys are such wonderful people that I'm so happy to tell people that everything that they think they see and they feel, like, that's absolutely who y'all are. Y'all are just sweethearts. It's such a beautiful thing.
All right, Tori, we've got an ad to do about something that should not be taboo.
What is that, Carrie?
Let's talk about erectile dysfunction.
Oh, no, I don't want to talk about that.
I mean,
why are we talking about that, Carrie? Nobody wants to think about that.
Well, let's face it, like, confidence in the bedroom is very, very important. You know, before the guy I'm dating now, like, I, you know, my dating pool's a little older than it used to be. So this was a topic of conversation. So that's why I am not embarrassed at all to talk about where Rugiet Go Long comes in. That's right. This isn't just another ED pill. It is confidence. It's a game changer. And there is nothing less attractive than having somebody who is not confident in the bedroom. So whatever you got to do, Go Long combines two doctor-trusted medications in one dual-action formula to help you go the distance.
Plus, effects last up to 36 hours. Which means you can feel confident all day and night.
Connect with board-certified doctor 100% online, so you don't have to do it in person. That's RUGIET.com. And if prescribed, your treatment ships discreetly to your door.
Head to RUGIET.com and use my promo code MYTHFITS for 15% off your first order.
That's RUGIET.com and use the code MYTHFITS to get 15% off. And make sure to use our code to let them know that we sent you.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
My one regret for Mythbusters is we never did a Top Gear crossover, because we did so many car myths. We should have had you come on. Like... We did hypermiling and drafting a big rig and driving angry. Like, is there any of those episodes, Rut, that you watched and you're like, I could have done that better. You did that wrong.
Well, you know, I think that would have been the greatest crossover ever. We did one, and I'm trying to remember if we saw you guys. I think we might have seen you guys for dinner or something. We did a show where we started in Portland and we were hypermiling. and made it down to San Francisco. Because we went out to Alameda, and I can't remember. I'd never been out there. Y'all have done so much stuff out there. What a bananas place that is. That was one of those moments where I was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm in Mythbusters. We're in Alameda. They've done so much stuff here. You know, that same,
that's so awesome.
That same runway where y'all smashed up so many things. I feel like I'm trying to remember. I have a vision of Tori getting not hurt, but definitely falling off of something.
Oh, the bike jump.
Yes. Yes. And I'm like talking about it on camera as we're there. Meanwhile, Tabitha's like, you know, none of that's going to make the show, right? And I was like, oh, all right. I just love these guys. Okay. But yeah, we did a hypermiling show and I picked, you know, anytime that we had cars on Top Gear, almost always I chose every car that I drove. There was very rarely, unless it was like a press car that got kind of randomly assigned to us, any of the weird ones I picked. And so I chose an old VW Passat that was a TDI and it was a manual, because that was really important, because every hill from from where we started until San Francisco, I was in neutral just rolling and tried not to hit the brakes. So it's also weird to think like, oh, I might get a speeding ticket and I'm not using the throttle whatsoever. Like I'm just coasting. So that was one I think that could have been a great challenge to all do together, because I crushed that. That was a fun one.
For those of you who don't know what hypermiling is, it is a technique to use the least amount of gas as possible. So you kind of roll through stop signs and you put your car in neutral whenever you can have any acceleration downhill, and it's so you can get the most out of your gas tank. And I swear there have been times where you know where you should stop for gas, but like there's not a really convenient place to do it, and it's kind of just shaking on the empty, and you're like, I'm gonna make it all the way home, and you're just starting to like, okay, if I go this speed, if I don't use my brakes when I get to this stop sign, just so that you can make it to the gas station. And like the best feeling in the world is that one time, whereas as you're rolling in, the car runs completely out of gas, and you're like, yes,
I did
level achieved.
Well, it's funny, we did the Gumball Rally, part of the, because the trip goes from one trip went from the United States to Europe, and so you had to run the car all the way down to like an eighth of a tank, because all that extra weight of the fuel, they wanted all the cars to be as empty as possible. And so me and Deadmau5 were literally like, I was telling, all right, take your foot off the brake. Okay, coast. And like the whole way we were just like going as slow as we could and just, you know, trying to do. And it was like all this, you know, information that we had learned from Mythbusters, we were using it real time. And he was like, oh, dude, I'm so glad you're here. And so we rolled into the you know, airport, and then right up to the car, you know, to the airplane. And then they're like, oh my God, dude, you guys did great. And then they drove the car on.
It's so intense. And that's one of those times too. I can't remember if y'all did stuff on drafting, but you really can see the difference that it makes. The amount of times that I have referenced the tailgate test as to whether you get better mileage with it up or down, and how it makes like the cushion of air that essentially the air passes. Y'all, hundreds of times I've referenced that. Hundreds. And there's so many times where like, you know, I live in a town with golf carts and it's like a little postcard to live here. But I've thought if I just had a track that I could just make laps on, we could really prove what kind of mileage something gets. And then I was like, no one's going to let me drive a golf cart till it dies on their high school track. Like I wish I was in California.
I feel like they would. I feel like people would watch that. People would want that. Personally, the one that I use is, you know how when you get into a taxi and sometimes like they don't want to have their air conditioning on, they want to keep the windows down even if they're on the freeway, and I'm like, you're not saving gas. There's the show Mythbusters. Have you seen it?
You've seen that show?
I have some data, but it's not me.
Also, you're like, two things, sir. Also, it's hot as hell back here, and there's a real smell when the heat increases.
Yes.
And second, have you seen my hair? Can we roll these up?
Do you know who I am?
do you know who I think I am?
Tell me about the Hot Wheels show. Because when that trailer came out, I was like, oh my God. Like that looked like the most fun show to make.
It was a great time. It was really funny. I'd heard about this show happening, and I think I had been in line to possibly be a judge. And I was like, please get me an interview. I promise this is waiting for me. And so, you know, my whole life, the through point has been Hot Wheels diecast cars. Like, this is the track from the show. It's called Hot Wheels Ultimate Challenge. It was my first primetime show I got to host that was on NBC.
That's insane, dude. Like, were you freaking out?
Dude, it happened in a matter of weeks. Like, it was like January 1st, 2023. And they're like, hey, we're going to get you on. Okay, great. We start talking. Have like one chat one day with a handful of people. Then maybe a week and a half later, have another talk. And then, like, I remember the quilt that was on my bed as a kid was this kind of squared quilt. And I would use it like streets. And I had all these different Hot Wheels that I would line up and I would go play. And like, as an adult, I've really just tried to build my own life-size Hot Wheels. So when they say, like, that's the premise, and y'all know, TV, we fudge the numbers a lot of times when people talk about deadlines.
Wait, you're saying it's not real?
I know, it's just going to shock
reality
you.
Television isn't real?
Tori, sometimes they're not telling the whole truth. I know. It was shocking when I first heard it. Also, that's not what the Kardashians are like all the time.
What?
I'm just kidding. I've never watched that. But, you know, it's the same thing of flies.
You know, my first kiss was over a Hot Wheels.
No.
Yeah, my favorite car was this little Ferrari. And I was staying these summers at my aunt's house. And there's no TV. There's no video games. And she just would basically lock us out of the house. And there was only boys in the neighborhood. So we played with all of the boys. And we had this one hill that was our Hot Wheels hill, and we'd all bring our cars. And every time we go to the grocery store, we'd get another little car. So, you know, start creating their collection. But, like, he always wanted my one little Ferrari, that one little Ferrari. And we, at one point, it was just me and Travis Pitare on the top of this hill playing with our cars. And he looks at me, and then he gives me a quick peck. And then immediately realizes what he did. Like, he was overwhelmed with little five-year-old feelings. I don't know. He just couldn't contain himself. So instantly after he kisses me and I look over at him, he punches me in the stomach.
What?
That sounds normal.
Whoa. It was sort of like we'd been I can't control my feelings. For so long, and we had such like a, you know,
what do I do
like
with these
little
feelings?
Kid relationship that he's just like, I really like her, but I don't want her to know. Quick.
That's crazy.
I'm gonna put a wager. Did you hear from Travis Pitare via Facebook during the success of MythBusters?
You know, I don't think so. I don't know what I know that he stayed next door to my aunt for many, many years and she'd always give me an update. But I feel like maybe that moment he was too embarrassed to discuss.
Boy, if someone's got the one that got away story at a bar, it's that dude. Right? Tori, he has told that story. You know, the first girl I ever kissed. Yeah.
Maybe he's listening right now. It was
Carrie Byard from MythBusters.
It was Carrie. Yeah. How'd it go? Oh, man, that's awesome. How'd it go? It's not great. I punched her right after. I freaked out. I panicked. We didn't talk again.
It did not go well. I've upped my game since.
And I just name checked him first and last name. So now he's got proof.
Yeah. Look, this is really legitimizing to him. I'm sure. I mean, assuming he never did that again, then I think it's fine. If he's got a history of it, we should cut this whole part out.
Yeah, maybe he's got a restraining order somewhere.
We've never spoke of it again.
I kissed.
That story till I was an adult. Like that, one of those, like, I was also embarrassed. I was like, oh my God, what just happened? We're just not going to talk about this. We're going to go back to being like friends. Let's go back to being buddies because that was weird.
Hot Wheels.
Do you remember we tested the Hot Wheels? We did a Hot Wheels myth to see which we like laid these tracks in Tahoe down the hill, and we were trying to find out which is the fastest. How could you make a Hot Wheels go the fastest? And Jamie built one car and Adam built another car. But I remember when we got out to Tahoe, it was like early in the morning. So the sun hadn't come up and we had laid all the tracks down the road. As soon as the sun peeked over the mountain, the road heated up and all of a sudden the tracks just started curling and it was just like this disaster. Like we had laid this like 1 mile track all the way down this hill and we're like, sweet, we did it. And then all of a sudden it just fell apart.
Oh gosh. I was waiting. Y'all got so close. I mean, y'all talked about it a bunch of times. Could we run an F1 car upside down?
Oh,
I think
dude.
It would have been the great. It feels like now we'd have the technology to do it all remote.
Yeah. You could have an autonomous car do it.
Yeah. I just want to throw this out to the networks that the best crossover that could possibly happen would possibly be these three people right here. We've got enough experience and creativity to do a Top Gear Mythbuster style show, but better. We have all the wisdom now.
We know just enough to do a lot of damage.
I agree. We really could. I think that would be great. I think we should work on that. That's a wonderful idea. You know who we should get? I don't know if he's available. Travis Pitari.
So you're a race car driver now. Can you tell us about that? Like, you are the GR Cup Series. You're racing in the I mean, like, this is your dream, right?
Hold on. I have to go get something. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a novelty check. It's a
giant novelty check?
No,
is it legal?
I got two of them.
What?
You're rich. This is amazing. Okay,
can you cash those? Do you walk into the bank with the giant check and you're like, I need to deposit this novelty check?
Don't spoil my social media before people can see it, lady. All right, listen.
Call me. I want to go to the bank with you and I'll film it for you.
Oh, that would be great. Come on, let's go. I just want you to know, it's like racing's cool, but then getting a novelty check, an oversized novelty check, is actually right up here.
I'm going to put that in my contract that I only want to be paid in novelty checks.
Wouldn't that be great? Like, it's weird how I was like, oh, where am I going to put these? I was like, definitely got to put it in the guest bathroom. That's a real conversation piece. Maybe one above the mantle. Oh, I could put it above my bed. I don't know. Also, I don't get the money, so it makes it better. It all goes to the team. But yeah, I got an email. You know, sometimes you answer an email and you're like, yes, that sounds fun, before you've really thought about it.
Yes.
Mine was like, hey, do you want to race in the GR Cup Series? Absolutely. Let's go. Let's do it. And then turns out it's the hardest thing I've ever done. It's the most intense. You know, like, I've done a lot of crazy things in cars in my life, in this career. But like, strapping in, understanding how the fire suppression system works, wearing a Hans, like, in my own fire suit, it's so real. It's so much fun. My friend Ryan Eversley had this idea, like, hey, maybe you should come race in our car for Precision Racing LA. And I was like, oh, that sounds so fun. Let's see if they like it. Everybody loved it. And then they were like, well, we just want to design your fire suit. And I was like, okay. So Toyota designed my fire suit to look like I'm wearing jeans and a plaid shirt.
No.
That's awesome.
Carrie, it's so good. And I just didn't know, like, I'll show you a picture. I didn't know that it could go as well as it did, but I was like, all right, if this is our starting point, like, we're going to be just fine. This will be great. It's just, I'm racing against like 14-year-olds that have never been to the hospital. They don't have a mortgage, or kids that need to go to college.
They don't fear death.
Right. It's just very different.
That's your racing suit?
Dude, you look like Paul Bunyan.
That's amazing.
I feel like it. I feel like it. But here's the kicker. It's supposed to look like my sleeves are rolled up and my shirt has a collar, but you still have like, so it's like, I was like, you guys made like skin colored sleeves. They're like, well, you always have your sleeves rolled up. Like, it's
that's
the
amazing.
Most ridiculous thing. And then I got a custom helmet painted. I mean,
is it your hair?
It's so fun. Yeah, that would be great. Like, it's just a gentle faux hawk. It's like a lowrider lace paint job. And I drew a heart and I said, just like put something like this with Elsie, Millie, and Hattie, their initials on there. And he put literally the thing that I sketched on a napkin on the back of the helmet. And I was like, well, that's very literal. I like this a lot. So it's so much fun. I have one race weekend left. Those big checks came from my last race, which was at Barber Motorsports Park in Alabama. I grew up in Birmingham. So I was like, oh, this will be fun. It's close. The girls will be able to come. And my parents and my sister and my godfather and a bunch of other folks came. It was so fun. But I'm in the Legends class, which is code for old dudes. But I'm the youngest of the old dudes. When I first raced at COTA this year, I was like 2 days into my 45th birthday. So they're like, oh, you qualify. So you get to race for this other fake cup against the other old guys, because these young people are so good. It's like the future of sports car racing is in this series. A guy named Weston Workman just won the championship in Birmingham, but I was the only old guy that showed up to race at Barber. No one else chose that. So it's outside of the cup, but I showed up and I'm coming off the track. I'm 22nd. I think 21st out of 22 cars. And they're like, here. Hey, they said, podium's right over here. And I was like, y'all got the wrong car. I thought they thought I finished third because I had been lapped for the first two cars. With like two to go.
Oh, my God.
I was having a little trouble. I got a little squirrely. I didn't, you know, I don't want to ruin anyone else's day. So I just move over. I got it. So I was like, oh, you got the wrong car. And they're like, no, you won for Legends. And I was like, they are going to make so much fun of me.
Oh,
and I thought it was just going to be the old guys. Some of these kids were so jealous about my oversized novelty checks.
I'm jealous. I get that.
Dude, right? That you is amazing.
Well, Rhett, beyond sending me a case of the soda pop that you have created, because I will do some endorsements for you, of course. And
thank you.
Fun Pop looks delicious. Where can the Mythfits find you online if they want to follow you, ask you more questions, please, beg you to come back on this show?
Absolutely. I'd love to. And then hopefully our new show, which obviously people are going to see this, pitch it, where it's all going to happen. It's all just it's happening
gonna, oh
so
God,
fast.
Oh, my God. We're going to get another show out of this.
This will be amazing. I'm easy to find. Everything is pretty much Rutledge Wood. RUTLEDGEWOOD. I'm on the TikToks. There, I think it's the Rutledge Wood, and I'm not sure why, but someone has that. But I'm on Instagram. It's my favorite. I still call it Twitter. It's a real cesspool, so I don't get on there very much because there's too many angry people. But Instagram and Facebook are real fun. I'm easy to find on there. Thank you guys for having
me.
What a treat.
Are you kidding me? This is so fun to see you catch up. It's been way too long. When are you coming out to Monterey for Car Week? That's the real question.
I think next year. I had a race this year, and I'm covering. I work for Mecum doing the collector car auction.
Oh,
so
yeah,
they have a really great setup out there.
Yes.
My friend Chris Jacobs, he was out there this year. So I'm hoping next year. And if so, I'd love to hang. Carrie, does any of that sound fun to you? Because if not, I will scrap those plans with Tori and just do whatever you want.
If Tori invites me, I will also arrive there. But I might be filming a show very soon in Georgia. So you and
Yay!
I might have a dinner date.
Oh, I forgot we talked about that. You know what's funny? I might be shooting a show in Georgia very soon.
Oh, my God. Look at this.
Yeah. That means, Tori, we need to get you a show in Georgia very soon.
Yeah. The new
we need to make
Hollywood.
That Yeah,
thank you, Rhett. Thank you for being on Mythfits. Thank you guys all for watching, because this is one of my favorite people in the whole world. So I hope you feel the same.
Samesies. I love you guys. Thanks for having me.
Love you too, dude. Great to see you. This podcast is brought to you in part by Stash.
Here's a secret. The best time to start building your financial future is always now.
With Stash, you can grow with confidence no matter the market.
Stash isn't just another investing app. It's a registered investment advisor that combines automated investing with expert guidance, so you don't have to worry about figuring it out on your own.
You can choose from personalized investments or let Stash's award-winning smart portfolio do the work for you.
With Stash, investing doesn't feel like gambling.
It's simple, smart, and stress-free, so your money can finally start working as hard as you do.
Get access to world-class financial advice with personalized guidance for just a $3 monthly subscription.
Stash has already helped millions of Americans reach their financial goals.
Don't let your money sit around. Put it to work with Stash.
Go to get.stash.com/mythfits.
To see how you can receive $25 towards your first stock purchase and to view important disclosures.
That's get.stash.com/mythfits.
Paid non-client endorsement. Not representative of all clients and not a guarantee. Investment advisory services offered by Stash Investments, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
Investing involves risk. Offer is subject to T&Cs.
Welcome back, Mythfits. I hope you guys had a really good time because, oh, my heart swells when Rutledge walks into.
I
he is
love
so
that
much
guy.
Fun.
I know. He's
such
a lovable guy. Yep, totally. And just, it's so good to catch up. Like, I've not seen him forever. It was just so fun to hear what he's working on and just all the crazy stories he has. It's just, I think we need to get him back on.
I mean, Or just call him up for dinner. We're just going to take him out. Too good. All right, well, it's the time of the show where we get to answer an audience question. So, Tori, you got anything good?
Okay, Carrie, this is a question from The Painted Chef. Thank you for your question. What are
painted
your favorite...
Chef? The That's painted his chef. Candle?
That's his handle. The Painted Chef. What are your favorite driving myths from Big Rig or other car tests?
I mean, I feel like I still think about drafting a big rig in real life. Like when I have a really long trip, I think about that every single time. But man, going up to test that one.
That's one of those myths that like forever I believed it would work. Like, you know, ever since I was a kid, they were like, oh, if you get real close, but it's dangerous. But if you get real close and you put it in neutral, the suction from the big rig will continue to pull your car forward and you can just, you know, take your foot off the gas. And so it's like this thing that was ingrained in me. So when we went out to Freightliner to test it, I was so excited about this one.
I mean, the idea of it is so dangerous. Tailgating a big rig? That's a terrible idea. I mean, even just, have you ever been on the road and seen just giant pieces of tire that are out on the road because they ripped off of a big rig? Like,
totally.
I don't want to be anywhere close to the back, front, or side of those things. I want to be far off. Drafting seems like a terrible idea.
You know what? I heard a story that a highway patrol officer actually pulled over a big rig because a car had like crashed underneath the tail of the trailer and the truck driver didn't even know it. He just kept going. And it wasn't until he got pulled over. They're like, dude, pull over. There is a car crunched underneath the back of your trailer. And he had no clue.
I mean, we did, you know, the two big rigs crashing together and the impact. God. It was compact. Oh, we had a tiny car in the middle of it. And they smashed together and was supposed to like almost like they'd get welded together and the car would be gone. Like the mass, just the physics of something that big crashing into a little car. I could totally see that happening. I mean, they're the power of them. I mean, you and I both got to drive them on the track. And it is wild to drive one of those things. First of all, the seat is super comfy. They make it for long distance. It's like bouncy, it's cushy, like it's better than the recliner in my living room. And Freightliner had like, you know, the brand new all dolled up ones for us. So it was super duper fun to actually get into one of those. But I can't imagine like what it would take to drive one of those trucks up and down the 5 all the time. Like you're dealing with cars that are trying to cut you off and apparently trying to draft you. Like,
by the 5, you mean Highway 5. Here in California, we have a highway, Interstate 5, which goes from the top of California all the way down to Southern California.
It's where I encounter definitely the most trucks, the most truck drivers.
But what was cool about Freightliner is they have a whole track dedicated to testing their trucks. So it's basically like a playground for them to test the brakes, to test the tires, to test the steering. So we went up to Oregon to test this myth. Can drafting a big rig truck actually work?
Now, when we would go on these trips, like it was kind of mini vacations for us. Like, yeah, we were going to work, but we got to see something cool, like their wind tunnel and the track and that kind of stuff. But dude, do you remember, put my feet up here, do you remember how much fun their whole team was? That like the day before we were going to test this myth, you know, we decided to go out to an all-out dinner in some like just local restaurant, and it was our whole crew, and they got us pretty hammered.
Like, they got us hammered.
We got ourselves.
It was their fault. They got us drunk. Oh my God.
They were too hammered. Good a time. And when the dinner was over, then a small group of people also went over to that crazy cowboy bar afterwards. And I think the party went until a couple hours before we had to film the next.
Yeah. Well, then there was this one bar in town where, because they were like, whatever you do, don't go to the Rialto. And I was like, why not? They're like, it's divey, it's dangerous, just don't go. So of course,
don't threaten Tori with a good time.
We're hammered and it's like, I'm going to the Rialto, to the Rialto. And we went in and they were like the nicest people. They were like, Mythbusters, here's a drink. Yeah. But yeah, the next morning we were all feeling it really bad.
And the hangovers were so bad that you could still kind of smell it on everybody.
Kind of smell it. It was like everybody, I used to call it old grandpa aftershave, because it was like it would just seep out of your pores. You would smell that alcohol seeping out of your pores and out of your mouth. I think people were still maybe intoxicated. Who knows? We didn't take a breathalyzer. And now it was time to test drafting behind a big rig.
You had to ride a bike that day. You were supposed to ride a bike to draft behind. I can't think of a worse circumstance than having a little bit of a hangover and trying to keep up on a track on a bicycle. And you were in full crash gear. So like the sweat alone was, you know, you could probably light that sweat with a lighter.
I thought I was going to die of a heart attack, because we had a heart monitor on me, you know, just so we made it more scientific. And before I even started writing, my heart rate was already through the roof, because it was just like trying to overcome all that booze that we drink before.
Well, that just shows what a fun time those guys were. You had to take a nap on the lawn.
Good times. Oh, we survived it, though.
Mythbusters was more than just a show. It was an experience. That's not something, I just want to throw this out there, that's not something that happened all the time. This was just like, I don't know, this was just an off-the-chain.
About 90% of the time.
It was good times. I do think that the show behind the show would have been a really good show.
Oh, God.
Busters After Dark.
Oh, man.
Oh, maybe that was more than we should have explained. But now people, when they go back and they watch that particular episode, they're going to look at it just a little bit different. They're going to be like, who was the one that maybe was a little too hungover in this episode?
Who might have been drunk still? Anyway, thank you guys. This was fun.
I haven't laughed so much in such a long time. I feel like this entire episode is giving me, I'm getting abs from laughing so hard. Rutledge is so funny.
Yeah,
that question was so, that just brought back some memories for me. So thank you guys for going on this weird and wild journey with us.
Yeah, and remember, keep it weird, Mythbits.
Stay weird. Like, follow, subscribe, all that junk, so we can keep coming back. Mythbits out.
And don't forget, we got merch now.
We got merch now. Yeah, and if you go to mythfitspodcast.com, got a little button that says shop. You can go there and get your own merch if you want to be a Mythbit too.
Go get yourself a t-shirt or a sweatshirt. Come on now.
Pioneer.